You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you, but that doesn't stop us from going off the beaten path if we choose to. So let us take you on a brief but substantial meal for your mind.
Yes.
That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Take our hand. Don't be frightened, little one. Come with us.
Yes.
On a magical journey.
Through sight and sound.
Ooh.
Well, actually just sound because we're only a podcast.
Close your eyes and let us take you away. Ooh.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm doing Whose Line Is It Anyway sound effects over here.
Yeah. Just a whole bunch of woo.
Yeah. That is still one of the best moments in television history, I think. I think it's safe to say that.
Yes. Just
in my opinion, yeah. It's if you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Ghost Lady sound effects.
She only,
it's amazing.
She had you know, her mind to make whatever sound effect that she could. And so, all she did was ooh.
So Whose Line Is It Anyway is an improv show. And sound effects is a game where they have the improv actors acting out a scene, but they have people from the audience do the sound effects.
Right.
And so all she did was go woo for everything.
That's it.
Ooh. Everything. Yep. I just watched a recent episode where they did the sound effects, and the people were good.
Oh, there you go.
Like, no, but that's disappointing.
Oh.
Because the humor
You mean they're actually
Audience members were like, and the actors were like, you could tell that Ryan and Colin were like, oh, wow, like, they actually did, like, sound effects that make sense. They still made it funny, but I think people are catching on, you know?
Yeah, you want to have someone who's still a little bit off.
Right.
Like your dad.
Yeah.
if your dad could come on and do a couple sound clips, I think that would be funny.
No. Sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
See, my dad would get flustered and they'd be like, oh, we're going to open this really loud thing. And he'd be like, sausages!
Yeah, there you go.
Like, that's not the sound a door makes, but okay.
But who knows?
But right. You never know. Anyway.
Yes. So with that aside, let's go into our introduction portion of the show. We like to do a little recap as to what we've been up to since our last episode. So, Mike, what have you been up to? What's happening in Mike Costanzo world?
Not much.
Okay. Fantastic.
I had to pause and think. I'm like, what have I been doing?
Just sausages?
I can't even remember what happened last weekend.
Sausages!
Okay, I remember now. I went to the...
Sausages!
No, but close. We went to JB and I... went to the Philadelphia outlets, which are as far as possible away from Philadelphia as you can get.
Yeah, they really shouldn't be called Philadelphia outlets.
It annoys me so much. Like, let's go to the outlets. I'm like, oh, but they're like an hour away. Can we find anywhere that's closer? And JB's like, nope. So,
aren't your associate producer
there? Yeah. Well, he had to get a very specific type of shoes for a wedding.
Ooh,
and they had
fancy.
To go. Yeah, he's the best man. And they're like, you have to get this type of shoe. So he had to go to like this store and whatever. So we went up to the outlets, which was a whole thing. But I had remembered that you told me they had a beef jerky outlet there. Or somebody told me. I think it was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it was right next to the store that he had to go to. I'm like, this is perfect. This is a sign.
This is Providence.
This is a sign. Yes, this is Providence. It is a sign from God. This was supposed to happen today. Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ! So
that's what you said.
That's exactly. And people were like, what is wrong? Just calm down, buddy. It's just beef jerky. But I was like abnormally excited to be in that store because they had all the different types of beef jerky you can imagine. But also a thing that I'm a big fan of is like, this is going to sound weird, exotic game meat. So, like, alligator, kangaroo, ostrich, like, freaky stuff like
freaky
that.
Freaky deaky stuff.
Freaky deaky stuff. So I bought a big box of exotic game meat beef jerky. It has all different kinds, venison, elk, duck, and alligator, and wild boar, and kangaroo. And so me and JB have been slowly but steadily making our way through that package of beef jerky. It's been a lot of beef the past few days.
Sound like a weather report.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beef in the forecast.
There's a front of beef coming through. But yeah, no, if
the meat sweats are coming tonight, it's not going to be pretty.
A lot of meat sweats. That's fairly accurate.
It's actually Bruno.
That is.
So that literally is.
That's
Bruno.
That's an actual live broadcast of.
Oh yeah.
Of John Bruno post beef jerky.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, on a serious note though, the beef jerky outlet. Rich is broken.
Sorry,
he's just all the way broken.
Yeah.
But the beef jerky outlet is fantastic. You guys should go check it out. If you like beef jerky, it's amazing. I walked in there and it was like I was just blown away, because the thing is, they have beef jerky, but they also have really cool odd stuff. So they have like extreme hot sauces. They have, you can buy bugs as snacks. You can buy the different types of popcorn, different types of beef jerky, exotic game meats. So it was like everything. It wasn't just you know Slim Jims and. You know, the beef jerky you buy at, like, CVS. It's, like, real, like, handcrafted stuff. So it was pretty cool. I did that. I also caught up. I've also been catching up on The Handmaid's Tale, which will come into play later in the show.
Yes.
That show is so good. I'm, like, in the last couple, like, two or three episodes. And let me tell you something. This show is so freaking good. I don't want to get into it too much, because we're going to talk about it a little bit later. But I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say, if you don't have a Hulu subscription, it's almost worth it to get at least a month of Hulu Plus or whatever it is, just so you can watch The Handmaid's Tale, and then you can let the subscription end. Because The Handmaid's Tale is, for my money, one of the best shows of the past 2 years. And we'll touch on that more later. But I just had to say that up front, that it's incredible.
Yes, a teaser. Woo!
A teaser, yes. So that's really all I've been doing. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet around here. But Rich, what have you been up to recently?
I had a pretty fun weekend. Randomly went up to New York City.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What'd you do in the city?
My girlfriend, Rachel, she had tickets to go see Anastasia on Broadway.
Okay.
And, decided to tag along and go see it, because, you know, I like musicals. I like...
It's always fun
to see
a show. I
like the theater,
yeah.
You know? I always have much respect for actors that, you know, get up on stage and, you know...
Do it live.
Right, do it live. Yeah, you got to do it live. But, yeah, it was a pretty good show. I had no idea what Anastasia was about, so I didn't...
I think it's a Russian thing.
Yeah, it's about the lost princess.
Isn't that a Disney movie, or is this not...
See, that's what I thought, but apparently I've been told that it's not officially Disney.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know the specific... I'm not a Disney expert.
I don't know, actually. Honestly, I've never seen it. I know it's a cartoon. Is the musical based on this Disney, non-Disney cartoon?
There are some songs... that are taken from the cartoon movie.
Okay.
But they had the creative freedom to do their own songs.
Okay.
Because I noticed Rachel was saying that the songs weren't... There were some songs that weren't in the movie.
Okay.
So,
It's an adaptation of... I think it's an adaptation of an adaptation.
Correct.
Anastasia is like a book, probably.
Yeah. So it gets in the fuzzy territory there when it's an adaptation of an adaptation. So... Whatever. The point is, it was a good show to see, and, you know, always fun to go see a live show, especially on Broadway, because, you know, you get to go into New York City, you get the hustle and bustle of the city, and walk down Broadway, all that stuff. Chose a pretty good weekend, actually, because we went on Sunday, and that was, like, right in the lull between, like, two heat waves. I got lucky.
You did. You lucked out.
Yeah.
You don't want to be wandering around a city in the middle of a heat wave.
Right. Yeah. Oh, New York City, although it's fun to be in New York City, it is atrocious.
Oof.
If you go in the middle of a heat wave. I've done that before. It's not fun.
It doesn't sound like a good time.
Yeah. Which, by the way, brings me up to another thing, because I've mentioned that I've been to New York City a couple times in my past. A lot of people may get a kick out of this. Is I love the theater, but For some odd reason, I have a strange connection to the musical Mamma Mia. I don't know how. I don't know how this has happened, but I've been.
All right, tell people how many times you've seen it.
I've seen Mamma Mia on Broadway 3 different times. And I don't know why. I don't know why the universe keeps putting me into these spots, but it's happened.
It's a sign, Rich. You need to go into musical theater, but specifically
for ABBA.
Musical theater based on ABBA, yes.
Yes. So the long story short is we had a class trip to New York City when I was in 8th grade. We had a class trip.
We did. Yeah, we went.
In high school.
Yeah.
That was to Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And then I had another class trip in college to New York. That was Mamma Mia.
You should plan a work trip to Mamma Mia. You got to continue the trend. Grade school, high school, college, work.
Yeah.
Come on.
Every stage of my life has
been. It's the grand slam, Rich. You gotta do it.
Has been accompanied by Mamma Mia.
Yes. Mamma Mia is a pivotal piece of theater in Rich's life.
Yes, all right.
It marks the turning points.
Right.
You know?
ABBA, they're from Sweden, same place as Ghost.
I think it's all tied together.
Right.
I think the universe is trying to tell you that you need to move to Sweden.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's why I keep saying we should all move to Sweden.
I like cold weather. I think I'd be in.
Yeah.
But so anyway, it's just a fun little tidbit. I've seen Mamma Mia like 3 times.
So you didn't see ABBA this weekend? Or you didn't see Mamma Mia this weekend?
No, I didn't. No, I actually stuck to my guns.
You should have pretended to see Anastasia, snuck away and saw Mamma Mia.
Yes, I get to do it again! No.
You're just drawn to it, like a moth to flame.
I don't know why, but so just an interesting little random trivia bit about me. I've seen Mamma Mia 3 times on Broadway. There's nothing I can do about it. It happened.
I gotta tell you, Rich, it's kind of an awkward play to see that many times.
Yeah, right?
It's like out of all, like, you can see, like, the heavy hitters, like Phantom or, like, Miz.
I've seen Phantom,
But Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
It's not traditionally considered one of the heavy hitters.
Right,
but
boy,
you can't get enough of that.
I can't.
That's
the universe. The universe has force fed it to me, whether I liked it or not.
I will say that when we went in high school, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
It's a fun musical.
Yeah.
It gets you bopping along with the music.
Yeah, which will, by the way, this will all play a later role in the entertainment entree coming up.
Yes, very ominous. Ooh.
Yes, boy, a lot of teasers in the entertainment entree. But yeah, that was pretty much it. And the other thing that I did was I finished Detroit Become Human.
Oh yeah.
So I'm slowly but surely catching up on my video games.
Well, you knocked out 2 in the past couple of months.
Yeah.
So
well, God of War took forever.
Yeah. Well, Detroit Become Human was a much smaller game than God of War.
Yeah.
In terms of time commitment.
Right. So my goal is hopefully I'm caught up and ready to go for Red Dead Redemption 2. It comes out September, I think.
I think October.
October, they pushed
it back a little bit. Yeah, because September is Spider-Man, and you're obviously going to play Spider-Man, right?
Sure.
I'll lend it to
you. I don't know.
It's all right.
I'll tell you what.
It looks fun.
But see, here's the thing. I hate to say it, but it looks like they really borrowed a lot of the mechanics from the Batman games.
But that's fine. Is that a bad thing?
I mean, no,
as long as they take the story and they make it its own thing, and the web swinging is a completely different mechanic than anything in Batman. Anything in games, period. I mean, there's no other game that has movement and mobility like that. You know, the web swinging and stuff. I already have it pre-ordered.
There you go. Mike's got me covered.
I'll play it, and then I'll force it upon you, and then you'll play it.
You'll give it to me 3 different times.
Yes. Rich, play this game. Yeah, 3. I have to give it to you 3 times.
Yes.
Everything in threes.
And when you play it, ABBA must be playing in the background.
Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Gimme a spider after midnight.
You know a lot more of the songs than I do.
I do. I've seen Mamma Mia 3 times.
Rich will now recite Mamma Mia in its entirety.
Yes.
Begin now.
Yes. There you go. That's what we've been up to in the past week or so. All right, now it's time to get to the sports news at hand in our first segment, folks. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face. And this first part of the sports sampler is where we're going to hit you with as many topics as we can in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is on. What do you have for us, Mike?
All right, this week in the 2-minute drill, we have a little bit of football news. First up, Eagles running back Darren Sproles has officially announced that he will be retiring after this season. I know it's pretty sad for everyone, especially us Eagles fans who've gotten to know Darren Sproles' work ethic the past few years. It's not a surprise. I think he's going to be 35.
He's coming off
knee injury.
Much more than that, a torn ACL, broken arm. He's got a lot of injuries on that body.
He does. But he's hoping that he can make a return. In a blog post on his new platform, officialize.com, at Darren Sproles, he talks about being doubted as an undersized player, not wanting to go out on an injury, and how he made a stellar career for himself, becoming the eighth-ranked player in career all-purpose yards. And he makes the point about the injury. He says, you know, he doesn't want to go out on an injury, and that he's really working hard to get back his mobility so that he can avoid getting hit. And that's how he's been able to last so long. So he hopes that if he can do that, he can play this one more year and go out hopefully on a high note. What do you think, Rich?
Sure.
Do you think it's possible? Darren Sproles, 35, coming off an injury?
Sure, but it's going to be tough. I mean, he's a great gadget player, but the injuries and the age are going to catch up to him.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll be able to have a little bit of a rotational role in the offense. I'm not expecting him to be a starter, but we don't really need him to be a starter. No. So, welcome back, Darren Sproles. Wish you a good 2018 season. Finally, though, in the two-minute drill, the World Cup has ended. France beat Croatia 4-2 this past weekend. Croatia, tiny country, sort of a surprise team in the World Cup competition. They won a bunch of their games by penalty shootouts, so they were always taking it down to the wire. Unfortunately, they couldn't topple the powerhouse like France.
Yeah, but we're taking it down to the wire. Yay, France.
Yay, France. What a high note.
I don't know. Like,
I'll say this for French. They make a mean toast and a mean fry.
Good job, Mike.
I thought that was funny. You know what? Forget you guys.
I don't know. Once again.
Wait, you don't like French toast?
No, I do like French toast.
You don't like French fries?
I do like French fries.
You don't like French baguettes?
But we're the only country that calls them French fries. We should be calling them freedom fries. What happened to that?
Okay. 2001 era America.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
Freedom fries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soccer just always goes over my head. I never got into soccer.
We're not going to spend time dissing it because we always diss it. But yeah, like it ended and I was like, finally.
You know,
I know it sounds bad to say that, but I don't know. I never got it.
Yeah.
Somebody educate me on it. Maybe I'll get it then.
Yeah. So, but good going, France.
Yeah, well, no, apparently they haven't won in a while. This is only their second time overall. I just pulled that stat out of my ass. somebody mentioned that to me, and I was like, oh, my God, I remember it.
This is the first victory they had since they landed on the moon.
I'm just going to start making up stuff.
Yeah, right? That's right. Sure.
Congratulations to France, and keep making that delicious toast. Okay. What else do we have in sports, Rich? I know that there's a big event coming up that you're really looking forward to.
Right. You know, I'm not so much about soccer, but what I am excited for is the exciting world of golf. Yes! Golf, 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 golf! Woo!
Is that your strategy? Just shout it as many times as possible, and that will hopefully up the excitement factor?
Yes! Because everyone should get excited about golf.
Do you
I love
think
golf.
It worked?
Hopefully. If not, people have just sped right through the sports sampler. But I do get excited about golf. And this weekend is the third of the four majors of the year. It's the British Open, or as they call it over across the sea, simply just the Open Championship.
It's so pretentious.
It is. But
There's other Opens, though.
Yes, there's U.S. Open and all that stuff. But
and
they
the
were,
Australian Open?
They No, that's tennis.
Oh.
Good job, Mike.
Well, still, it's an Open.
Yeah. Well, this was the first one.
This is the Open. This is the Open. Okay.
Right. This is the third major of the year, and what I like to do for everybody is to give the Vegas odds as to who the sports makers think has a real shot at winning this prestigious championship. Without further ado, let's get into some gambling music. It's time to go over the odds for the British Open this year. The number one overall favorite is the world number one golfer, Dustin Johnson, at 12-1. of course. It makes sense.
Was he number one in the last one?
Yes.
Yes.
And the Masters, yep.
But he didn't win those, did he?
No.
Okay.
But he has finished top 10, I think, in two out of the three so far.
What's top 10?
It's very good.
They don't even give a medal for people in fourth to 10th place. If this were the Olympics.
What an arbitrary, like, way to rank this. Oh, you didn't get a medal in my imaginary scenario.
Well.
Good job, Mike.
Well, you know how in competitions, they usually give, like, a prize for first, second, and third. So in my mind, those are the only finishes that matter.
Okay.
One, two, and three.
Well, unfortunately, golf's a little golf is a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
A top 10 finish is good. Top five is very good. And
so what is that? Is that like one through three is like the equivalent of finishing first and then four through? Do you not understand what I'm saying?
No, I do not understand what you're saying in this system.
I'm trying to. Never mind. Let's just move along.
Let's move on. So after the world number one, Dustin Johnson at 12-1, then we have a trio of golfers. At 16-1, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Rose.
They're all
just dancing in that mid-second tier range there.
They're trying to break into, well, I guess they're already elite, but they're trying to reach the top.
Right.
They've just sort of been hanging out there.
Right. To me, it also signifies that Vegas isn't really sure, like, that really isn't sure who the clear-cut favorite is either.
Well, yeah, because
you're seeing 12-1, 16-1. Nobody's in, like, single digits.
Right, and there's, like, four people all within reach of each other.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a toss-up between those guys. But what's the next ranked person? Are they still close?
Yep. The next ranked is the defending British Open champion, Jordan Spieth.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. You kept ragging on Jordan Spieth. But Jordan Spieth is still actually relatively high on the charts. He is the defending British Open champion, which is the last.
It doesn't feel that way.
Right, it doesn't feel that way. But it is. He is the defending champion coming into this major. He's at 18-1. So right behind the tails of the past four golfers there. Then we have Justin Thomas, Tommy Fleetwood, Brooks Koepka, and John Rahm at all at 20-1. Another plateau of golfers.
Koepka, he won something.
He won the U.S. Open.
The other Open.
Yes, the other Open.
The other Open.
Right. The American Open.
The American Open, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's on a good momentum swing right now.
And I've never heard the one person, Fleetwood Mac, I think his name was.
Right, yes. He finished in the top five in the U.S. Open.
Oh, wow.
So he's got some momentum,
I've
too.
I've never heard of that person, but hey, good job.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's coming up the charts. It's Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood. What's his real name, though? I just heard Fleet.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, it is Fleetwood.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, his name is Fleetwood Mac now.
There you go. Root for him. There you go.
I will. He's my golf person.
There you go. He's at 20-1. He has a shot.
Yeah, not that far off of the rest of them, though.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They're all very, very close. Like, between him and the number one spot, you know, 12-1, 20-1, it's...
Right, it's all worth a gamble. Yeah,
exactly.
The next plateau is 25-1. We have Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, and Tiger.
He's been climbing up these odds things, but he never really does much, does he?
No. I think this is going to be another case of that as well.
So is Vegas just throwing him in there because they're like, oh, here's a storyline people can chase with their money?
Oh, yeah. People will still bet on Tiger Woods.
Okay.
And then following out at 30-1, we have Sergio Garcia, Patrick Reed. They've both won major championships in the past. So they have some history there. Some other notables, we've got Phil Mickelson at 50-1.
Wow.
That's
a long shot.
Yep. Adam Scott, 80-1. Zach Johnson, 80-1. So at that point, now we're getting the outliers. But there you go. Just a brief idea as to, you know, who you should keep an eye out for, who to expect, you know, who to expect in the running this weekend. But of course, just as golf is, you know, it is an open championship. You never know who's going to enter in and come up through the ranks. So it's always fun to watch.
I feel like since we talked about Jordan Spieth potentially getting a grand slam, it's sort of just been like a crapshoot as to who wins after that point. You know, because like That year that we first reported on Jordan Spieth, he won, like, what was it, two?
He won two, and he came in top five in another one. He had one of the best years you could ever have.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. But then after that point, though, it's sort of just been kind of random.
Well,
no names.
Well, it was after the choke job at the Masters when he was up five strokes with six holes to go, and he blew it. Yeah. That was really, like, the pump the brakes on this kid.
Yeah, yeah. But since then, we've gotten a good variety of winners. You know, a lot of parity in golf.
Yeah.
Unlike other leagues.
Yeah, NBA. but I think that's what makes it great, and that's why I love watching golf, especially the major tournaments. I think if you have to watch golf, you got to watch the major tournaments. The Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, and PGA Championship. And this is the third one of the year, the British Open. Another thing that's going to be interesting is that this one takes place across the pond, so there is a big time difference. So if you want to join me, you could wake up at 6:30 in the morning on Thursday and Friday and watch some great British Open happening.
Good God, no thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, I have to be up early anyway, but I'm not watching golf that early.
All right, well, how about 8 o'clock on Sunday?
That's a little bit more doable.
Okay, well, there you go. The final, at least watch the final round Sunday.
They don't play on Saturday?
Well, they do, yes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay. But for Sunday, which is the last round and the one you really want to watch, because that's when everyone's trying to make their last-ditch move to win.
That's the only one that really counts.
Well, I mean, they all count, but...
Well, yeah.
But you want... To me, Sunday is the fun one to watch, because that's when everyone's trying shots that they wouldn't normally try, and they're trying to do whatever they can
desperation moves.
Right, doing whatever they can to climb up the leaderboard. That will start 8 a.m. So, jeez.
What time do they start over there then? What time is that? Like noon-ish?
Yeah, that sounds about right, because it's a five-hour difference.
I know Italy is six, I think. So
I think they're five hours.
Yeah.
So that's around noon to one.
Noon to one, okay. I was like, God, what time? I guess that works out, though.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah, we're behind.
Why can't they start at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Because you have to play 18 holes, Mike.
Oh my God.
18 holes.
That's why they need a timer. They need pace of play.
There is pace of play rules.
They need a shot clock then or something. They need to keep the pace up faster. I'm telling you, race golf. Race golf. Every time.
You want battle golf.
Battle golf, yes.
From the Tiger Woods PGA video game.
Golf as fast as possible, as violently as possible.
Violently? What, we're going to do? Check people into the trees?
Well, no.
Damn you, Jordan Spieth!
They could really up the ante a lot. So you could tee off, and then you have to race your little golf cart, go-kart thing.
They don't have go-karts. Only the professionals don't do carts.
Why not?
Because they're supposed to walk the course.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
Wait, that's an actual rule?
Yeah, they're not allowed to use carts, yeah.
What is the logic behind that? Like, then they're going to be more rested than the other guy type thing? Or is it just for the appearance?
It's the appearance of it, yeah.
That's stupid.
They're supposed to be playing classy.
What, a golf cart isn't classy?
No,
there's
it's not.
Nothing classier than a golf cart.
No, uh-uh. There's
name one thing that's classier than a golf cart, Rich.
Jordan
that's
Spieth.
That's right, nothing. What?
Jordan Spieth.
Golf carts are classy.
No, they're classy in our case when we want to drink beer and drive the cart through the course. Then
how
it's classy.
Get it on its roof? Don't ask.
Yeah, it was an accident. That bird came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere, just like that sand bunker. She jumped right out. That's the only reason I would want to golf, is
what?
To drive the golf cart.
Well, then take up golfing with me and let's go golfing.
It's too time consuming. It's hot outside. You got nature all over the place.
You got nature all over
the
place.
Think about it. There's geese on golf courses, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. You don't have a good relationship with geese.
No, not. I've been attacked twice, Rich. Twice.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least you have a golf club to defend yourself.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I actually might go just to fight a goose with a golf club.
There you go. You got a fighting chance now.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So fighting geese on golf courses will help Jordan Spieth win. Who are you hoping wins this one?
Spieth would be good because, it would be nice for him to establish dominance over the PGA again.
Right.
Ricky Fowler would be a good one too because I want to
see. Finally win one.
Yeah, I want him to finally get that first major. Those would be my two favorites.
Okay.
Rory would be a good story, too. He hasn't won a major in a while.
He hasn't done anything since we've been doing the show.
Yeah, so that would be also a good story, too. But, you know, I just want to see good golf the final round.
Right.
You know, I want some... Here's my thing, is, like, I love that when the final round is a good, like, back and forth between, you know, two players.
Right.
You know, that's when I think golf really hits peak, like, watchability. Unfortunately, the last two majors, it seems like someone has gotten off to, like, a very big lead after Saturday, and it's almost been near impossible for somebody to catch up.
That sucks.
So, unfortunately, when that happens, Sunday can be a little bit of a drag.
Right, because it's just that person golfing conservatively and everybody else golfing extra wildly.
Right. But when you have, like, a head-to-head showdown and they go back and forth and they're trading shots, you know, great shot here, and then all of a sudden better shot here, and it's almost kind of like a game of one-upsmanship, you know?
Right.
I love it when golf is like that. So, hopefully we get a taste of that this weekend at the British Open. And here's another thing that I wanted to mention here for you. The winner this year of the British Open will take home a cool $1.9 million. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, there's some money on the line here.
It's pretty good for a weekend of work.
Right. So very, very, very good prize.
Yeah.
For whoever wins the Open Championship. And that's what I'll be watching this weekend. So you're all welcome to join me if you would like to.
Bright and early.
Bright and early. 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
Rich is going to supply the breakfast sandwiches and the coffee.
That's right.
And the PGA will supply the golf.
Or just stay drunk from Saturday night. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Just keep going.
Rally. So we'll do whatever you want to. But check out golf this weekend. But for now, that'll wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because come next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still a lot of shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the Punish Press. Very pissed off thing here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what pissed off. Podcast that don't ask me to be on.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, went over some exciting golf news, some exciting musical notes about my history with Mamma Mia, which we'll get to again in just a little bit. But before we dive into it, we need to officially announce the beginning of the second part of the show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
With the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Hello,
Mike, what does that scream mean?
It means we're going to get a visit from our very good friend of the show, Mr. Alex Jones.
That's right. We have Alex Jones update here for you.
Why?
Because why not?
Okay. So is it the children on Mars or is it the drinking water? What's the conspiracy this time?
No, wait until you hear this. But but before we get into it, so Alex Jones is the host of this crazy program called InfoWars. He's ultimate.
You know it's crazy when it's called InfoWars. I'm pretty sure it's spelled with a Z, too, isn't it? Or am I making that up?
No, the W's just slant it really
weird.
Oh,
the W's. Oh, so it's a ZW.
No Z.
It's an edgy W.
But he is super ultra conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Thinks everybody's out to get him. Somehow this has led him to establish a well-produced radio show. And as such, since it's broadcasted all over the world, we get to enjoy random clips from it that go viral. And he's had a couple over the past month, but man, this one I think is going to take the cake here.
Okay.
So you know how, I never thought I would say this, but you know how the leader of the free world right now, there's been a rumor that there's incriminating evidence from Russia, you know,
about a certain tape,
yeah,
it involves urine and prostitutes,
yeah, something to that nature,
yeah, right.
Well, Alex Jones has decided to confront this head on.
Oh, this should end very well,
right? And he wants to mention how there absolutely cannot be a tape of the president doing such things or whatever.
Okay.
And that has to be blackmail if
what you're saying is going to be a well-structured, coherent, and not at all train wreckish argument.
Sure.
Okay.
No. Here okay. It is. This clip is going viral. This is Alex Jones talking about the supposed Trump P-tape from Russia.
There's no video of President Trump sucking a ding-dong. And so what if there was? That's a lot better than World War III, Owen. I never sucked any ding-dongs. But I'll tell you, if they were going to blackmail me to start World War III about one, I'd say, hey, I sucked a ball, golf ball through a freaking garden hose.
Didn't you already tell Der Spiegel that?
No, the son of a bitch walked in there in my own office when I had splattered stuff on myself and I was changing shirts. He goes, oh, that's a good shot. Let's get your shirts. And then he goes, I go, hey, have some of this chicken and sausage. So technically, I said, Jones offered me his sausage. Yeah, give me a break, you son of a bitch. I like women, not men. And if I like men, I'd be proud of it. I'd have a line of them. But I ain't ever been in bed with no man. I've been in bed with probably 300 women. And you sons of bitches sit there and you play these games. And I'm sick of it. So.
Yeah, well, guess what? You put yourself in these scenarios. I'm going to play these games. What the hell was that?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
He started talking about chicken and sausage at one point.
Yeah.
I lost the train like halfway through. He starts talking about how the president
doesn't
suck ding dongs.
He started to sound.
And then he's like, and I gave somebody chicken and sausage. I lost it, honestly. I had no idea.
He started to sound like your dad.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
Literally, no sausages.
That's right. He said no sausages.
Right.
But,
no ding-dongs.
But 300 women.
Yes, exactly. You, Alex Jones and your dad, 300 women.
300 women.
Bam!
Just lining up.
There's no video of President Trump sucking a ding-dong. And so what if there was? That's a lot better than World War III, Owen.
Time out.
Time out. Where did this even come from?
I don't know.
Is there supposed to be a video of Trump sucking ding-dongs? I wasn't even aware that this was a thing.
I think
Is he just making up stuff?
Yeah. But he's trying to say that this is why Trump is trying to be nice to Putin and everything.
He's trying to prevent World War III.
Yes.
And people are claiming... This is the thing. There's no train to follow.
No, the train has headed.
There's no set of tracks. You're just standing in a field and you're going, where the hell am I?
Yes, the train does not have any rails. There's been no rails for the last 300 miles.
The two options for Trump are World War III and sucking ding dongs.
Right. That's it. That's all he has.
I didn't even know that this was an issue.
Being a president is a lot tougher than you thought.
Right, I know. One day you're stopping World War III, the next day you're sucking ding-dongs. I mean,
I never sucked any ding-dongs. But I'll tell you, if they were going to blackmail me to start World War III about one, I'd say, hey, I sucked a ball, golf ball through a freaking garden hose.
Time out. Time out. He is way too eager to mention that he's never sucked ding-dongs.
Yeah, he really jumped on that one.
He's like, there's no there's no video of the president. And by the way, I've never sucked a ding-dong either.
Right. Just like, because right, I'm right, discussing
it's
it.
It's like, whoa, calm down. He was a way too eager, I think. Go ahead.
You tell Der Spiegel that?
Now, the son of a bitch walked in there in my own office when I had splattered stuff on myself and I was changing shirts. He goes, oh, that's a good shot. Let's get your shirts. And then he goes, I go, hey, have some of this chicken and sausage. So technically, I said, Jones offered me his sausage. Yeah, give me a break, you son of a bitch. I like women.
Yeah, I don't know who Spiegel is.
I have no idea.
I don't know. But apparently he walked in on Alex Jones changing shirts because he had liquid on his shirts.
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds a little strange there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Liquid
yeah.
from what? Jones.
Right, and then at the same time he goes, oh, you want some chicken and sausage?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is pretty odd.
It sounds like somebody trying very hard to make up a sensible-sounding lie.
So
was he eating chicken and sausage, and he got chicken and sausage on his shirt? And he's like, I'm going to change this shirt right now with my door open.
Right.
And then the guy comes in, and he sees him changing his shirt because he's got stuff all over it.
And then
instead of saying, excuse me, I'm changing, or can this wait, he goes, do you want
chicken
some of my sausage?
Right, and apparently the Spiegel guy made a joke that, oh, Alex Jones offered me a sausage.
Well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It's factually true.
That was the first thing he said?
By the way, Mike, I'm going to have to get undressed right now during the podcast. I got a little bit of grease on me.
Oh, would you like some sausage?
Oh, yes, please. Right while I'm bare-chested and getting changed.
Right?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing I don't get. Like,
what do you mean get? I'm doing it right now. I'm going to get changed, all right? This is a podcast. People aren't going to know about
it. They can't see anything.
Right. So excuse me while I get naked. I need to get changed here.
Oh, my God. But that's the point, though, is that Alex Jones is upset for this person making a joke. But you're creating a scenario in which the only logical thing you can do is make a joke. Because you walk in on somebody changing while in the middle of a chicken and sausage feast, apparently.
Yes. Well, Alex Jones is a big guy.
And they turn around shirtless and they go, would you like some chicken and sausage? Like, that's...
Alex Jones is a big guy. He eats all the bone broth and everything.
Well, I thought it was just bone broth. So sausage,
no.
Sausage
is A-OK now.
Okay.
Sausage is...
Bone broth and sausage.
Sausage!
Yes, very
fine. I'm just going to point this out. He eats a lot of foods that are analogous to penises.
Well, he's not. He does right. not know ding-dongs.
Because 300 women,
right, are,
of course...
Can't
but,
be wrong.
But that's right.
I like women, not men. And if I like men, I'd be proud of it. I'd have a line of them.
Okay, and then on top of that, if I was gay... I'd have a line of them. Like, what?
This sounds like an argument a grade schooler would make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want to play baseball, but if I did play baseball,
right.
I'd be
the best.
Eight-time All-Star.
I'd be the best at baseball.
Yeah, take that.
I don't want to play it, but I'd be the best if I did.
Right.
You guys are lucky that I don't play baseball.
Yeah, I'm playing basketball 800 times.
Right? Right. It sounds like an argument a child would make.
But I ain't ever been in bed with no man. I've been in bed with probably 300 women.
No,
and
but
you sons of bitches sit
but
there.
But you offered a man a sausage while shirtless. It almost might be worse. You say they're shirtless. You want a sausage?
Well, wait a minute, Mike. Aren't you going down the shore in 2 weeks and with your sausage sandwiches? Aren't you going to offer people your sausage sandwich?
That's true.
Without
I offer lots of people my sausage sandwich on the beach.
Sausage!
And they're lining up to get it. No,
yes, they are.
I'm kidding.
You have three tents, and you're taking over
tents,
the beach.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, people are going to be lining up for it.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages, sausages.
It's actual audio from our vacation.
That's
me and Germano. Daddy, would you like some sausage?
That's actually footage.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah.
Very, very good. There's actually going to be footage.
Apparently, that's also Alex Jones as well.
Yeah, who would have thought? You and Alex Jones have
no!
a lot more in common
no!
than you thought.
Please.
You eat chicken and sausage without your shirts on. You offer it to people. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You and Alex
Jones. It's the polite thing to do. You just somebody comes in on you changing, you just have to offer them the chicken and sausage you're eating.
You and Alex Jones are two peas in a pod.
Oh, yeah. We're the best of friends. We get along so well.
You share sausages.
Whoa. But there's no video of it, Rich.
I've been in bed with probably 300 women, and you sons of bitches sit there, and you play these games, and I'm sick of it.
Yo, oh, boy, he's sick of it.
Well, when
oh,
you
boy.
Sound like a raving lunatic that is going around shirtless offering other men sausages, you kind of deserve to have games played on you.
Where are the sausages? Where are the sausages? You said you'd bring me sausages. I don't see no sausages. I want sausages. Sausages are good.
Yes. Where are the sausages? We need to find out now. Now this is going to be a federal inquiry.
That's
I want
right.
the FBI on this.
Special counsel.
Special counsel.
Where are the sausages?
I want to find out where the sausages
there's
are.
There's no collusion between him and the sausage.
Oh, okay? I don't know. I want.
There's
proof.
No video proof of him and the sausage colluding.
I don't know. Right? I think I need to see Alex Jones's online history. I need to see, you know, chicken and sausages records.
Chicken and sausages records.
Yes.
It's very important. People, are your chicken and sausages records up to date?
Right.
Okay. You got to make sure it's like almost as important as filing taxes.
Right. All right.
It's got to be done.
Mueller, I'm going to need your help.
That's right. Yes.
We need to look into this matter.
We're expanding the special counsel scope.
Yes.
So,
but
be on the lookout for those headlines.
Yeah. But there you go. The latest from Alex Jones. He's obsessed with
literally turns my stomach.
Sausages and a video. If there was a video of people sucking ding dongs. I love how he can't even say penis. He's got to say ding dongs.
Because he's a child. These are arguments and words and attitudes that children have.
Yeah.
You know, he says ding dong. He's, you know, he makes this weird sort of connection. Like, I don't do this, but if I did, I'd be the best at it. And it's just he way too quick, way too defensive. And he's just bringing up stuff that isn't even really a thing. Like, I've never heard about this ding dong video thing. And he's just like, I have to defend or I have to disprove this crazy ass thing I just made up.
And by the way, if you're going to eat chicken and sausage, take off your shirt.
Oh, that's the only what you don't eat chicken and sausage that way.
Don't get the
you
oil
don't strip down to eat chicken and sausage.
Don't get the oil on your shirt.
That's right.
Just take off your shirt.
That's right.
Simple solution.
I mean, or wear a bib.
No, take off your shirt.
Or just be careful.
And offer everybody your sausage.
Right.
Now let's move on to the next part of our show, where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in terms of movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
No sausages. No sausages. No sausages. Sausages!
All right.
Well, you know what? That's oddly accurate because in this movie coming out, there's very few sausages as it's mostly a female cast.
Okay.
See that? I know how to connect things.
Is there 300 women in this?
Well, I don't know about 300, but there's definitely several leading female actors in Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
There we go.
The
universe comes full circle. I can't get away from Mamma Mia.
Rich is going to be there opening night, midnight premiere.
I can't wait.
Singing along with everybody in the aisle, dancing. But no, seriously, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is both, this is weird, a sequel and a prequel to the 2008 film. The main character, daughter, woman person. I don't know anything.
What a good way to phrase that.
I don't know anything about this movie.
Yes, you did. You saw it with me.
I don't remember. You've seen it three times. I've seen it once. And I was like 16 years old. I'm like, what? It? Why? What is happening?
The mother and the daughter, they have a special bond. What's the problem?
You literally described literally every teen coming of age story ever.
But you said you didn't know if it was the mother or the daughter.
Well,
so what,
I don't know.
What's the problem?
Who does Amanda Seyfried play? Is
she
the
plays
daughter?
The daughter. Yeah.
Okay. So the daughter of this woman, Sophie,
yes.
attempts to find out more about her mother's past while dealing with her own pregnancy. That's
okay.
That's basically all I got.
There you go.
But it goes, it does flashbacks and talks about Meryl Streep, and then it goes forward. Who plays the mother? Right.
There you go. I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah. See, you should have done this. You're clearly the Mamma Mia expert.
Yes.
The resident Mamma Mia scholar.
Hello. How you doing?
On staff.
Put that in my bottom thirds if I ever get video. If I ever get an interview on video.
Yeah, Rich Leavitt, Mamma Mia expert.
Yep, that's me. Hi.
He's a world-renowned Mamma Mia scholar. Minutes of research.
Vast minutes.
Vast minutes.
Has been poured into this.
So go check out Mamma Mia. Here We Go Again. Rich will definitely be there. Probably, maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know. The universe keeps throwing me Mamma Mia.
You might not even attend to see it. You might just be like wandering around. All of a sudden, boom. Movie theater.
Showing
there,
it.
There you are. Watching Mamma Mia.
Yeah. I'm gonna slip and fall and somehow end
into
up
a movie theater.
Into a movie theater. And Mamma Mia 2 is playing.
Somebody knocks you out in an alley and drags you to a theater. You wake up tied to the chair. You're like, what's happening? The Mamma Mia comes on screen and you're like, oh, okay.
Why?
It's the least threatening kidnapping plot ever.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it, but why? Why is this happening?
Oh, well, you know what? That's kind of like a messed up psychological thriller type thing. Just like this new TV show. It's a new horror drama series, Castle Rock, from producer J.J. Abrams and author Stephen King, premiering on Hulu Wednesday, July 25th. The series is all set in Stephen King's universe, centered on a small town in Maine. The press release says it's, quote, combines the mythological scale and intimate character storytelling of King's best-loved works, weaving an epic saga of darkness and light played out on a few square miles of Maine woodland. Sounds really interesting. Not a lot is known about it right now other than it's a psychological horror show, but given Hulu's recent track record with some of its other dramas, you might want to keep an eye out for this one. That's Castle Rock premiering on Hulu Wednesday, July 25th. And finally, in video games, Sonic Mania Plus comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch this week. This is a physical release of the Smash Sega hit from last year. It includes new characters and new game modes. Players who already have the digital copy can download this expansion for $5 from their respective digital games stores. So if you're a big fan of Sega and classic Sonic adventures, go check out Sonic Mania Plus on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch this week. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
All right, there you go. Mike's This Week in Entertainment. Let you know what's coming up this weekend. All right, we got a couple of quick topics to hit pretty quickly here. The first one is a quick bulletin that kind of threw me by surprise. I'm surprised this movie's this old, but it is going to get a sequel. The great movie Zombieland.
Yes.
Zombieland 2 is officially greenlit and ready to go with the entire original cast back for the sequel nearly after 10 years? I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Yeah, so the movie is scheduled to release in October 2019, which would make it 10 years since the original. This is really exciting. I'm really surprised they got this cast back together, considering how much each of these stars have grown since that. We're talking Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, and Abigail Breslin. I mean, these people have skyrocketed in popularity since then. Emma Stone was a relative nobody. You know, now she's coming off of La La Land and all these great pictures, so it's tough to get all these people back together, but they did it for Zombieland 2.
Yeah, the first Zombieland is a great movie.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. It was a comedic tour de force. I thought it was hilarious, you know, taking the dark world of the zombie apocalypse and making it just completely outlandish and very hip, very stylish, which makes sense because I don't know if you realize this, the writers went on to do Deadpool and Deadpool 2.
Oh, okay. So this is their reprieve back.
Yeah, so given the success of Deadpool and Deadpool 2, I'm hoping they'll give these guys, you know, free range on this project to let them go as far as they want. Not that they really held them back the last time, but now, you know, they've got a lot more clout.
They're established.
Them. Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, very excited for this one. The first one was incredible. They've been trying to bring it back.
We always heard rumors, and it was in production hell.
Rumors of Zombieland 2, but also in the intervening years, they've tried to make TV series out of it. I know Amazon had a pilot that never turned into anything, and there was supposedly an adaptation in 2011 that never materialized. So it's finally coming back in a big way. So
yes.
Really excited for that.
Yes. Here's something else that is making some movie news buzz around the industry. And that has to do with the great director Stanley Kubrick. Big fan of Kubrick and his films. So this has a very personal spot for me. apparently a lost screenplay that he wrote in 1956 called Burning Secret has been discovered by a film professor. Can you give us some more details on this, Mike?
Yeah, so this was apparently, you know, when he was still relatively unknown. He wrote this in the mid-50s. It is an adaptation of, and this is going to sound very esoteric, but this is sort of Stanley Kubrick's, you know, MO. But it was, it's an adaptation of a 1913 novella by Viennese writer Stefan Zweig about a suave and predatory man who befriends a 10-year-old boy to use him to get closer to the child's mother. At the time, the story of adultery, specifically using a child as a go-between, was probably really risque, and so never really got a lot of traction and sort of just stopped. But apparently the script is so close to being finished that there's actual questions about whether or not they could bring in a writer and director to see it through the last final leg of it to make it come to reality. I mean, apparently it's basically finished. Hmm. It's basically all the way there, and there have long been rumors about, you know, this lost script from Kubrick, and they finally found it. But do you think they should make this, or do you think it'd be better off just leaving it to film legend?
I don't know.
It's going to lose a lot of
Kubrick.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can find somebody that emulates that, but you're not going to find his brand.
Right. You're not going to get the same
craziness.
Yeah, that too.
Pushing actors and actresses to mental breakdowns.
That's true. But I mean, it's just in terms of actually how the film is going to be composed and shot, you're not going to have the Kubrick element.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the biggest problem is whatever this movie turns out to become. I mean, it may not stick with the name Burning Secret, but
it's a very 50s name.
Yeah. But whatever it is, it's still going to have that air of just, ooh, Kubrick wrote it. Oh, Kubrick wrote it. Oh, Kubrick wrote it. And I think you're going to have a false sense that people are going to expect, oh, another great movie from, you know, that's going to be as well as, you know, Clockwork Orange or, you know, Full Metal Jacket. And, you know, I think people are going to be a little bit disappointed because you're not going to get 100% Kubrick from this. There's going to be an imprint of somebody else.
Right.
Whether it's the script or the actual filming of the movie.
It's inevitable. I mean, Kubrick had such an eye for things.
Right.
You know, you think about 2001 Space Odyssey, you think about, you know, Clockwork Orange and all these other very visually striking, gripping films. You can find people that can, like I said, emulate that, but all you really have are the words in the screenplay. You don't have that vision.
Right.
You know? So you can follow the script and you can follow it to a T, but I know from taking script writing classes and from toying with writing scripts myself is that there's not really a lot of that visual thought behind it. That's really the director, you know? So,
right.
So that's where the writer-director, that's where the director portion of that writer-director title comes in. You know, he can write the whole thing and it's going to have that tone, but it's not going to have that vision. And I think losing that is, like you said, it's going to lose something altogether. So I think it should just stay film legend and just stay. Maybe they could publish it.
Yeah.
You know, publish it as a book.
You know what the benchmark is going to be AI, artificial intelligence, because that was a screenplay that Kubrick was working on. But then he decided not to do it. And then Spielberg bought the rights to it and he made the movie how he wanted to make it after Kubrick died.
Right.
And it was kind of lukewarm.
It's a fine movie, but it's not a Kubrick. It's
right.
A Spielberg.
Right.
And
I feel like that's what's going to happen to this. It's no matter how hard you try and preserve the essence of Kubrick in this, the whoever directs it and whoever produces it is going to have the final touch on it, not Kubrick.
Yeah. You know, I can never put my finger on it. What was off about AI? And I don't think I realized that it was originally written by Stanley Kubrick, but directed by Steven Spielberg.
Right.
That explains a lot of it, because it's Spielberg-ish, but you can tell like there's like some elements of it that's not Spielberg-ish.
AI was supposed to be way more creepier than what the movie was supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, but now I want to go back and rewatch that based on that knowledge.
Ooh.
Now.
Well, there you go. You can check. Go ahead. Rewatch it this weekend.
I might.
So I think that would be the problem, is you're going to have a repeat of AI, artificial intelligence syndrome.
Yeah.
So.
And I think if they publish it as a screenplay and just let people read it, I think it'll be probably better than if you try to force it onto screen.
Yeah.
So I'd buy it. I'd buy it to read it.
Yeah, I mean, a hidden work from Kubrick.
Yeah,
why not?
I mean, that's a good story in and of itself.
Yeah, that we even have
you
it.
You know, forget doing the screenplay. Forget doing this movie. Make a movie about the discovery of the screenplay.
Make a movie about the story of a lost script. If there is a story behind it. I don't know the circumstances on how they found this or anything.
Well, I mean, think about it. This has been lost for over, 60 years now?
If this was written in 56.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not saying based on a true story. I'm saying, but they could, I don't know. I feel like there's potential there. It's an interesting story. It obviously grabbed headlines. It's been making the news circuit, so obviously there's material there.
Yep.
I don't know. Find your own inspiration, people.
Here's one more thing that is coming back from the vault.
A lot of resurrections.
Right, I know. First,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, first it was Zombieland, then it was Kubrick.
First it was Mamma Mia.
First it was Mamma Mia. Then it was Zombieland and Kubrick, and now something that hits both of our childhoods.
Something on the lighter side.
Rugrats!
I love it.
I like this story. Rugrats is apparently coming back to Nickelodeon. 26 episodes have been greenlit into production.
Yes.
The original creators are coming back onto this. Mike, what do you think about this? Rugrats is coming back.
I am very excited for this. Rugrats is one of those shows that just leaves such a mark on... that has left such a mark on kids that grew up in the 90s. Because it was... yes, there it is. I love it. It was just so creative and so different for the time. You know, you're a kid watching other kids and toddlers do all this crazy, whimsical fantasy adventure stuff, and it really lets you run wild with your imagination as those kids run wild with their imagination. It lets you view the world through a different lens, which I think is incredible and something that we need in children's TV shows now. I feel like children's TV shows are just very loud and flamboyant now, and I think it's missing some of that charm that Rugrats brought to it.
Yeah, I'd tune in.
I would too. Well, there's 20, like you said, 26 new episodes well under production. They're also doing, now I'm a little leery about this, a live-action feature film featuring CGI characters. So I'm not so sure about that. That actually already has a release date of November 2020. So it's, you can, they're already there. Like, this is only a year and a half away from the movie. So expect the show before that. But I don't know. I have high hopes.
This should be fine.
The original creators are back.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, that makes me happy. And I like where they're coming from. They're saying, you know, kids that grew up with this in the 90s, they have kids now. So
yeah, that's
so,
a good point.
So they want to create a show or resurrect a show that these parents remember fondly from the 90s can share with their children now. So it seems like they're coming from a good place. It's not a money grab. It's hopefully, you know, because there's no money in Rugrats right now. So, you know.
Yeah, so I think this is interesting.
I have hopes for it. And I think it's a good time for it, too.
Right. I'd be willing to check out a couple episodes.
Yeah.
See if they can, you know, see how they handle. Now, here's the thing. The babies aren't going to be grown up, but will the time.
I think they're just going to reboot it.
Right. So will the time, will, like, the culture prevail? Like, will, for example, will there be smartphones? Will there be video games? Will there be tablets? Because they didn't have that stuff in the 90s.
I think you have to keep it relevant for the kids coming up today.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, I'm just it's like that same argument about, like, what would Seinfeld look in a modern world. It's
right.
One of those things where Rugrats was definitely influenced by the era in which it came out in.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting how they update that. I'm just thinking, like, now my mind is, like, you know, trying to think of all the different plot lines they could come up with. Like, you remember that Lipschitz thing? Dr. Lipschitz?
Yeah, Dr. Lipschitz.
Yeah.
We could say that. We could say it.
After 20 years, I'm finally realizing. I said it. I was like, oh, my.
Yeah, Dr. Lipschitz.
Dr. Lipschitz. Wow. I can't wait for the show to come back. I completely forgot what I was going to say because now I'm just blown away by that. That was such a trademark of 90s cartoons is that it was
trying to fit names that you think you can't get away with, but you actually can.
Right. But it's like something for the kids, but also they know the parents are going to be watching. So they have this character named Lipschitz and the parents like spit out their coffee. Like, what did you just say? But no, I was going to say like Lipschitz, it could be like a web app now, you know, where it's like,
Lipschitz MD.
Yeah. Something instead of web MD. Yeah. Like I feel like there's a lot of material there. You know, where, like, all the voice-activated stuff, like, the babies could get in, like, a smartphone and, you know, voice-activate something. It's just, I feel like there's a wealth of material there. And I'm picking the low-hanging fruit. You know, I can't imagine what, you know, full team of writers could come up with. But, yeah, I'm really excited for this. And, like I said, the wholesomeness of Rugrats, but also the unique perspective of Rugrats, I think, is needed right now in modern cartoons. I feel like Rugrats was so unique in the fact that they could take mundane things and make them fantastical.
Right.
You know, I remember like an episode where they went downstairs in the basement and they fought like the water heater. You know, it was like a monster. It was a dragon.
Chucky, he was afraid of the water heater.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like stuff like that.
It was
that.
Making weird noises, right. So they thought that was like the monster growling.
Right,
and,
or like where the father's doing yard work and in their mind it's like a jungle that they're adventuring through. Like, it was just something so amazing about watching their imagination run wild, and then you look at your own world, you know, in that same lens, like all the things we take for granted, you can look at again in that different lens and be like, look at how incredible it actually is, you know? So I'm really excited for it, as you can tell.
Yes.
I was a big fan of Rugrats.
I would like to see a couple episodes, see if they got the magic back.
Yeah. Do you know my dad hated the Rugrats?
Why? Why? No sausages?
No, he thought...
No sausages!
He thought... This is going to sound crazy. He thought that the children were disrespectful. They're babies. What? They're like 2 years old.
They're disrespectful.
They're disrespectful to the parents.
Why? Because they get out of the playpen?
I guess. My dad's... He also disliked Malcolm in the Middle for the same reason.
Well, Malcolm in the Middle, I can understand why. The kids actually like actively hate the parents.
That's the show.
Right.
If you take that and out, it's not a show.
Right, and they're also like, they're about to enter like teenage, like that punk phase. So I get that.
Yeah.
But Rugrats, they're babies.
Yeah, he didn't like Rugrats for that reason.
They don't know what they're doing.
Right, exactly.
They're being disrespectful still.
My dad has very high standards for his cartoons, apparently.
You must get him hot dogs and hamburgers now.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Yes, so get him that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so on that note, we'll both be looking forward to Rugrats. All right, now let's get into some heavy-hitting news, because some other big news hit the TV scene, and that was Emmy nominations. Now, we don't want to go over every single Emmy nominations. I think we'll just pick out just some things.
Some of our favorites.
Right,
yeah.
And something that we want to mention. Right. So, Mike, what do you want to mention about these Emmy nominations?
Well, the one major headline is, of course, the fact that Netflix finally surpassed HBO in the total number of nominations. HBO apparently has held this record, I think, for it's like 16 or 17 years straight. So Netflix eclipsing them is like a big mark in television history.
Yes.
That a streaming service has eclipsed a cable subscription service. I will say this, though. I feel like I don't know how much weight I give to that number, just because Netflix has been just churning out show after show after show after show.
Yeah.
It's just... It's like they just have a money printing press over there. This is going to sound maybe a little weird or a little jaded, but when you look at some of the top shows, you know, the ones from Hulu and HBO, they seem to be of a slightly higher quality than some of the Netflix shows. That's sort of like a side tangent there, that Netflix actually had fewer subscribers than they anticipated this past quarter. And that's been reflected in some of the ratings of their shows have been dipping slightly. Have you perceived that at all? I feel like Netflix is losing a little bit of quality.
A little
in
bit.
In favor of the quantity. And I guess that's what I'm getting at here.
A little bit. Because I got to say, the last couple of shows that I've watched have all been HBO.
Yeah.
Westworld. Yeah. The one I've really gotten into now is Succession.
Okay.
The family drama on HBO.
Right. Like a media empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last couple of shows I've watched have been HBO, not Netflix.
Yeah. So, I don't know, something to keep in mind. They took the crown from HBO, with a show like The Crown. But I don't know. I feel like they're going quantity over quality, and that sort of bothers me a little bit. But the other major thing that I wanted to point out was just the crazy stacked category of outstanding drama series. Like, it's just, I know I say this every year, but I think this has got to be one of the best in recent memory. The Americans on FX, The Crown from Netflix, This Is Us on NBC, but then the real heavy hitters here, Westworld on HBO, Stranger Things from Netflix, Game of Thrones from HBO again, but The Handmaid's Tale from Hulu, taking 8 nominations. That's just, I mean, it's one of the top 4 shows in terms of total nominations. It's just an absolutely stacked category. You know, I feel bad for all these shows because I feel like they're all really deserving of winning. Especially The Handmaid's Tale. I've been watching season 2. I'm almost finished with it. And it starts out a little bit slow, but Rich, let me tell you something. This show just punches you in the gut. I mean, just some of the stuff that goes on is just so difficult to watch. Yes, it's true, but there's just so much depth there. There's just so many layers. Like, you're watching these characters deal with these incredibly trying and emotional psychological issues in a society that is at times foreign but also eerily similar to some of the viewpoints we have in modern society. And that is just super compelling. And it's just it makes you think, I think, much more than some of the other shows on this list. I know Westworld is like the go-to, quote-unquote, thinking show. But I would argue that The Handmaid's Tale, in terms of emotional drama and in terms of emotional intelligence, is just far surpassing anything else on this list right now. Just watching the show and watching the struggles that the characters are going through, just head and shoulders above that of the other ones. The others are very plot-driven. Handmaid's Tale is very character-driven. It's very much about getting inside the character's head, understand where they're coming from, and understanding what their situation is doing to them and how it impacts them and the story. Oh, I haven't even finished it. I'm ready to give it the award.
Okay.
Do you think that The Handmaid's Tale can fight off this crazy competition?
Well, they did last year, so...
They did. It was pretty stacked last year, too. That's true.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if they take the win again. Also, I mean, if you want to argue, do politics interfere with some of these awards decisions? If it does, Handmaid's Tale is going to win again, you know, because of the whole, anti-Trump movement and everything
right.
like that. So, I mean, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Handmaid's Tale pulls it off again.
I think it stands on its own separate from that, though. I understand what you're saying, and I'm prepared for those portions of the TV viewership to speak out against it for that reason. But I think that's doing it a disservice because it's a fantastic story. It's based on a work that was published many years ago, so it really doesn't have anything to do with modern society. If you think that it does, maybe the better question is, why do you think it has something to do with modern society? I think that's a question worth exploring. If you think that the story, the story published decades ago is somehow ringing true to today, if you think that a story about a Puritan dystopian society rings true in today,
yeah.
I think there's a question you need to ask rather than is politics influencing it. That's just my humble opinion. Take it for what it's worth. 2 cents. Exactly 2 cents.
Okay.
Rich, what are your 2 cents on the Emmys?
My 2 cents is the things I'm really surprised about. Once again, The Tonight Show not nominated for Outstanding Variety Talk Series. I mean, I think that's kind of a sign of
Comedy Central messed up. No, the Tonight Show.
No, the Tonight Show.
I thought you said... I'm sorry. Yeah, no, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I think it's a sign that NBC's messed up.
Yeah.
With their late-night programming. Another thing that I'm disappointed at, no Twin Peaks on the main main programs nominations. They have a couple for like writing and directing for David Lynch. But Twin Peaks was outstanding last year. There is, in my mind, that should have been at the very least, acting for Kyle MacLachlan as Dale Cooper. He had such a fantastic role during the revival season. I'm really surprised it didn't get one of the major heavy hitter categories.
Right.
It got something for like directing and something like that.
Well, directing is a big one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like
outstanding. You want series or acting.
I want something like that.
Series and acting are usually the big ones. But
right.
I would argue directing and writing are up there.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I thought it should be up there with the heavy hitters.
Okay.
But, apparently, the Emmys did not. So there was that. Another thing that I really thought was cool was for the category Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series, two nominations from Westworld, Ed Harris as the Man in Black and Jeffrey Wright as Bernard Lowe, both from Westworld. I thought that was interesting that they both got nominated for that because, to me, I really think it should go to Ed Harris. Ed Harris...
He just
owns that role, the Man in Black, in season one and
really
season
does.
Two. But
Bernard is good.
Bernard's good, but
the Man in Black,
right?
Man,
like the moment you see his silhouette on the screen, you better pay attention. You know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm worried that's going to split votes and he's not going to win. But you know, we'll see. We'll see how that shakes down.
I don't know. They don't really have that much competition in that category, it seems. In my opinion.
Here's something else that is interesting. Ted Danson gets nominated as Michael for the show The Good Place. That breaks a tie for him being one of the most nominated actors ever in Emmy history.
Oh, wow.
And for three different shows. Because
wow.
he was nominated for three different shows. Cheers, now The Good Place. And what was the other one? Was it Becker? Was that? I don't know. There was another one that he was nominated for.
That's really impressive, though, that you have that type of body of work across that many different shows.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting as well. But yeah, it's always good to check out these lists and see, you know, oh, maybe I should check out this show if it got nominated this much. Like you said, you know, when you see that list of, you know, total nominations, you're like, oh yeah, I guess I could check this one out or check that one out. So
yeah.
It's always good to see what gets nominated a lot and see, you know, what you need to catch up on. And
like The Handmaid's Tale.
Like that. Yeah, of course. Like that one. Barry. I want to check that one out. Six nominations, HBO, Bill Hader's new show. Obviously.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Got six nominations. Check that one out.
Okay.
Obviously, if you haven't seen Stranger Things or Westworld, what is wrong with you?
Oh, my gosh. You have to go see those.
Glow, your show that you keep telling
Glow
everyone
is...
that you need to watch. Three nominations.
So I think Netflix has fallen off a little bit in drama, but in comedy between Glow and The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, whew, it's fantastic. I mean, just amazing. Go check it out.
Also, Godless on Netflix. Six
yes.
nominations. Have not watched that.
I watched a little bit of it, but I couldn't stay awake for it.
You
so I didn't finish it. It's a limited series, so I think it's only seven episodes. So if you're looking for an in-between show, it's a good option. It's set in the Wild West. I don't really remember much of it. There's this gang that like slaughters an entire town, and a lot of it is about chasing down this particular gang, and it's very good. It was just, for me personally, it was a little tough to get into, but obviously, objectively, a very good show.
But there you go. That's what we have for you with our entertainment entree. A lot of news that we had to get to. A lot of revivals coming back. The Emmy nominations. A lot of things thrown your way in the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because coming next, we got the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. I got some weird stories there. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
I got to get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I got to get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh, my God. I got to hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we are moving right along into the third and final portion of our show. The craziest, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of my favorite segments. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before, ensuring that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive on into it. What do you got for us?
All right, let's get something really disgusting out of the way. How about that?
Let's do it. We like disgusting on this podcast.
Well, here's a quick one here that's just really, just disgusting. An 82-year-old Indian man who holds the Guinness World Record for longest nails on a single hand finally had them clipped in New York City. Yes, he got the record and then clipped them off.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, life is impossible with fingernails that long.
Yep.
Like, I'm assuming it was on his non-dominant hand. Otherwise, you would just be screwed.
Yeah, how would you wipe?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Think about that on your next game show.
Bidets. That's how he did it.
82-year-old Srindrar Chalal of Pune, India. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
He visited Ripley's Believe It or Not in New York Times Square, where he had the final measurements, and then afterwards finally got the nails cut on his left hand for the first time since he was 14.
Wow.
So from
what makes you think this is going to be my life?
From 14 to 82, he never cut his nails on his left hand.
What's a hangnail like on a nail that long?
Painful.
Oh, my God. How do you... There's so many questions. I'm going to look it up.
Well, while you look it up, here's the length of... Mike's already about to throw up.
Oh,
here.
It's curl. Why is it curling? So, why is it curling, Rich?
Chalal, who has held the Guinness record since 1979, he had grown out his nails to a complete total of 29 feet, 10 inches when they were clipped.
Oh, that makes my stomach turn. Why? Oh, they're curled. Why are they curled? Oh, man. Am I looking at the right one? Shalal? Yeah.
Yeah.
His one nail is like a whoop, 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 curly curly cue. Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's the technical name.
Right.
If you said that on a game show, it would count.
Well, sir, it looks like you got a whoop, 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 whoop on your nail.
Yes.
No, it's just really gross.
He said
it's
that.
It's super gross. Like they're like brown and, oh no, why?
He said that decades of dealing with the weight of his nails left his hand permanently unable to open or move his fingers.
Wow. Like, your hand is ruined.
Yep. He said that he was in pain. He said that before he got his nails cut, all five of his fingers, his wrist, his elbow, and his shoulders were hurting so much.
Well, yeah. You said 29 feet, right?
Yeah. 29
feet. Is that total? Like each
yeah,
one added
that
up?
That was the total.
So what is that per finger? 29.
So almost 6 feet.
Almost 6 feet per. That's how tall I am.
In nail.
My height in nails.
Yeah.
On each finger.
Right.
That's super gross.
Yes.
And it does sound super painful. But also, how do you deal with, like, think about all the things that are super convenient. How do you get in and out of a car?
Yeah, with that.
Where do you put those nails?
Yeah.
How do you like sit at the table and eat like a meal?
One-handed.
But where do you keep the nails in the other hand? Do you need a chair just
behind
for them?
You. Yeah, that's actually your dining companion.
Yeah. Like, aren't you afraid?
You never eat a meal alone.
Aren't you afraid you're going to disembowel yourself in bed? You just, like, turn the wrong way and it just slices you up the gut. You know? Like, these things are like sabers. Look at them. They're huge and gross.
Well, the clip nails will now be on display at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And they said that Srinrar Chalal is doing better.
So how do they clip them? Do they just go right down to, like, where his finger is? And
chainsaw.
Like...
at that rate... Man, I don't know how you do it. You would need something.
Like, because obviously they're not going like clip by clip with like a little pair of nail clippers.
No.
They got to take the whole thing off. But right. Like, I guess they probably had a special tool for it.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Ugh.
And I imagine just snapping it off would be like pretty shocking, you know?
Water jet.
Water jet just slices
someone get
it off.
Someone get the 600,000 PSI water jet. We're going to need that.
Have you seen these pictures?
Yes, I have.
Ooh. They're nightmarish. They curly Q at the end. So the one is like wound up like you would roll up something. And the others end in curly Qs.
Yeah.
Like corkscrews, rather.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
He could open a bottle of wine with that.
Yeah, do you want to, though?
No. I mean, yes, but also no.
Yes.
We need a corkscrew. 60, don't worry, I got it.
68 years this guy went without cutting his nails.
What?
That is so weird.
When you make that decision and you say, this is my life now.
Yeah.
At 14 years old.
Ugh.
Like, were his parents just to slap him and be like, no.
Yeah, stop
don't do that.
Stop being a moron.
I mean, I do have to give him props, though. He stuck with it.
All right.
As stupid as it is, he stuck with it.
Yeah, so there you go. Very disgusting story there. You want to keep going with the disgusting stories? Because I have kind of another one here.
Sure.
Let's
keep the good times rolling with more disgusting stuff. Way to start it off.
We're going to Texas in the next one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so...
You're right. That is disgusting. I'm sorry, Texas. Not really.
No, you have Dallas.
Oh, sorry. That's right. Yeah, you have Dallas.
We can't forgive you.
Ugh.
But this story did come out of Texas here. A Texas woman is facing an assault charge after she allegedly bit off and swallowed a large chunk of a nose off of a female victim, according to investigators.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, we're talking about real Hannibal Lecter stuff here.
Jeez.
Why?
What does a nose taste like? That's what I want to know. Rubber?
I don't know.
Isn't it all
It's all cartilage.
It's all cartilage, yeah. You can't even eat that. You know when you get a
bet?
Oh,
wait. Let me tell you this story. Because they beg to differ here.
Oh, my God.
41-year-old Jessica Collins was arrested for the attack in Spring, which is a Houston suburb.
Oh. I was like, no. What, in the season spring? And just
no, it's the name of a suburb.
Okay.
Collins was staying with the female neighbor of the 28-year-old victim. After spending Wednesday all night at the local bar, the three women returned to the victim's home where Collins wanted to keep the party going. She asked her host for booze and cigarettes. Instead, the victim asked Collins to leave her residence, a request that allegedly prompted Collins to go mad and attack the woman.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
So...
Well,
this,
I mean, like,
this is the, this,
yeah.
This is the Hannibal Lecter of partying.
Really, yeah.
If you don't continue the party, I'm eating your nose off.
There's just some really high stakes.
Yeah.
Jeez. Just give the woman some booze.
Well, after...
Just trick her, be like, oh, it's outside. I keep it outside. Go get some.
Well, after the victim repeatedly said no, Collins then went into a fit of rage. She threw the victim to the floor, yanked the victim by her hair, and then got on top of her and bit off a large piece from the bridge of the woman's nose and swallowed it. Oh, my gosh.
But how?
Just chewing on
it?
Is
it just, did she just take the skin off? Because, I mean, that's like, that's really tough. That's like a really bad cut of meat. You know when you get a bad cut of meat, you're just chewing and chewing. You're like, oh, it's just all gristle. That's the nose.
That's the nose.
It's a bad cut of meat.
Well, this is legit. The woman now needs emergency plastic surgery because they cannot recover the piece of nose that she's missing.
Well, yeah. Because somebody ate it.
Right. It's in someone's stomach right now.
I didn't think that needed to be spelled out.
I'm not going to say who, but someone has my nose in their stomach right now. This is...
Who's got your nose?
Yeah.
Who's got your nose?
My stomach does.
God, it makes that kid's game so much darker.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I really hope she said that. She's probably too drunk to even think of it, though. If you're eating noses, you're too drunk for movie lines.
A court filing accuses Collins of intentionally causing bodily injury to the victim.
Yeah.
By biting the complainant with her mouth. Collins was released.
What else would you bite somebody with?
Yeah. Collins was released from custody after posting $1,000 bond.
Wow. All
right.
So a nose again, is $1,000.
We need to figure out how did they come out. Come
well, no,
up
now
with
we
these...
have a system. Now we have, this is a foundation. Nose equals $1,000. Okay.
Biting and swallowing the nose, just $1,000 bond. That's it.
Man.
See, we need to figure out how do they come up with bonds, because...
You could eat a lot of noses.
Yeah.
For some of the other bails that we've had on this podcast.
Yeah, if you're a nose junkie, just...
There's some guy last week, it was like $40,000 for doing something weird. Like, he could have eaten 40 noses for whatever he did.
40 noses.
Yeah.
I will take 40 noses, please. I have a big family gathering coming up.
We're having a family reunion, and our favorite meal is... His nose.
Yeah. Ew. Jessica Collins is coming over. I want to make sure she's well fed.
She's a very picky eater.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awful. I feel bad for that woman that got her nose ripped off.
Yeah.
That must be super painful. Like, your nose is, it's pretty solid.
Right. That's all
like
cartilage.
The bridge part, they said the bridge though.
Yeah.
Like, just feel it. Like, there's not a lot of flexibility in there.
Ugh.
You know? Oh man. Also, how mad do you have to be to bite through a nose?
Yeah, right?
Like, you're not biting somebody's finger. You're not, like, you know, scratching or, you know, ripping, like, flesh off. Like, you're biting through, like, cartilage and stuff that's not supposed to be bitten through.
Yeah.
You know?
Insanely angry for no good reason. And a little hungry.
And yeah, obviously. That's what it was. She was just hungry.
Yeah. All right, let's get to another story here. This is short and sweet. This is only like three sentences, but it describes everything.
Oh, wow.
A 24-year-old Louisiana man was arrested Wednesday night after he actually called 911 emergency services and asked if there were any warrants on him.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
Very strange.
Please think about how stupid that is.
Yeah, because if you're not calling for an emergency, guess what? You're going to be charged with something.
Right.
For misusing 911.
Right. So yeah. Either you do have a warrant on you.
Or you will.
Or you will, because you just committed a crime.
That is such a strange thing to do. Just like, I wonder, are they hunting me across the state right now? Let me check. Calls 911. Excuse me, good sir. Are you currently looking to arrest me? And they're like, well, I mean, we are now.
Yeah, now we are. You're wasting the 911 system.
People call 911 for the dumbest reasons.
24-year-old Christian Palacios is charged with unlawful use of the 911 system.
Bingo. We completed idiot bingo.
Yeah, there you go. At 10:01 p.m., police responded to the 1500 block of Bell Street after Palacios called 911 to actually ask, quote, hey, are there any active warrants on me?
Wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, though.
Hey, buddy, do you know if there's any warrants on me?
It makes you wonder, though, what was, like, the thinking that preceded that? You know what I mean? It was like, is he planning on committing a crime and he wants to double check that there's no warrant out for him?
Like, or does he feel bad?
Does he randomly feel bad? It's like, oh, man, I hope I didn't commit any crimes. Like, how would you not know? If you're committing crimes, I'm pretty sure you know.
Amnesia.
I guess that may be.
Afterwards, he then admitted on the phone that he knew the difference between an emergency and a non-emergency.
No, he doesn't. That's the problem.
So Palacios was issued a misdemeanor summons. He will have to appear in court next week to pay a fine for it. But wow, and there was no active warrants on him prior to the call.
Right.
So
good job.
Yeah, good job, Christian.
Oh, that was an expensive question.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this story. Going to California here.
Okay. Cali. To Cali.
A suspected drunken driver went back to his burning car on Sunday night.
No.
After he realized that he didn't light his cigarette, so he decided to use the flames from the car fire to do so.
Cool guys don't look at explosions. They blow things up and then walk away. Who's got time to watch an explosion? It's cool guy errands that they have to walk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's not cool.
Right, if you've learned anything, you're supposed to walk away from the explosion and not pay any attention to it.
Right. He messed up.
25-year-old Robert Quigley rear-ended an SUV that was stopped in traffic on I-80. At the time of the crash, Quigley was driving around 75 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah, into a parked car. Bam!
Jeez, no wonder it burst into flames.
Yeah, that'll do it. A California Highway Patrol officer spotted the car after it burst into flames. After he did, he got Quigley and his female passenger away from the scene. But then a witness told officials that Quigley then took off his shirt, you know, very important.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Got to get the shirt off.
Right. And then he pulled out some sausages and chicken.
And then he goes, I go, hey, have some of this chicken and sausage. So technically I said, Jones offered me his sausage. Yeah, give me a break, you son of a bitch. I like women, not men. And if I like men, I'd be proud of it. I'd have a line of them. But I ain't ever been in bed with no man. I've been in bed with probably 300 women.
Yeah. So you went, you're going,
you had that ready to go.
I left it up. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You anticipated this, didn't you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know if you're going to offer me chicken and sausage in the odd news. So I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, my God. So why did he take his shirt off? Because he knew going back to the fire was going to be very hot.
That, and I think he wanted to look cool, too. Take the shirt off.
Well, obviously, you already sacrificed that by going back to the explosion that you started, you know?
So he took off his shirt, and then he went back to the burning car to light his cigarette at which point he singed off his eyebrows in the process.
What a douche. He deserves
it. Don't look at explosions. They blow things up and then walk away. Who's got time to watch an explosion? It's cool guy errands that they have to walk to. Keep walking, keep shining. Don't look back, keep on walking. Keep strutting, slow motion. The more you ignore it, the cooler you look.
Yeah, see, the more you ignore it, the cooler you look. And instead he goes and walks
That's
right back.
That's why this guy is the opposite of cool. He's a douche.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, this is so frustrating. He caused a huge accident. Cars are on fire. If you cause an accident that cars catch on fire, you messed up.
Yes.
Big time.
Bigly.
Bigly, yes. But then he's like, oh, you know what'll fix this situation? Taking my shirt off. That's... Like, yes, I escaped from a fire
cigarette.
And lighting my cigarette. Yeah. Then he goes back to it. And like, what? You don't have a lighter? You can't wait? You got to have your cigarette right now? That's the top of your priority list? Not calling the cops? Not making sure people are okay? Not getting away out of the radius of a possible car explosion? No. You have to go light your cigarette. Come on, man. In the fire? Really?
Quigley later told an officer that was at the scene, yeah, I'm not afraid of fire. I deal with the stuff all the time. No
oh
big
my
deal.
God.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
This guy's annoying the sugar honey iced tea out of me.
Very nice. He's closer than Alex Jones. You're absolutely right.
Hey, have some of this chicken and sausage. So technically, I said Jones offered me his sausage. Yeah, give me a break, you son of a bitch. I like women, not men. And if I like men, I'd be proud of it. I'd have a line of them. But I ain't ever been in bed with no man. I've been in bed with probably 300 women.
Yeah, see? I 300 women. I deal with fire all the time. No big
right.
deal.
You know what? It's the same argument. They're both children trying to act cool. Like, oh, I caused this huge accident, but I'm going to make up for it by trying to be cool and lighting my cigarette in the raging inferno of my former car.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
As a result, Walker also said that Quigley sustained a burn on his neck from
yeah.
trying to light up his cigarette.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, obviously.
Yeah, he caused further
injury.
So
hold on. Let me... So he was trying to be so cool that he put the cigarette in his mouth when he tried to light it. Like, he had it in... He leaned
yes.
in with his head.
Right.
He leaned in with his head into a car fire.
Right.
To light a cigarette.
Correct.
He didn't just hold it up to the fire or, you know, stretch his arm out. He leaned his head in.
Yes.
What? Oh, I hate you so much, guy.
And in the process, singed off his eyebrows and got another burn on the back of his neck.
Oh, he totally deserves it.
Yep.
Totally deserves everything he got.
Quigley has been charged on suspicion of driving under the influence, and he's being booked in the Sacramento County Jail.
I don't know why. It just pisses me off so much.
Because he wasn't cool. If you see,
he wasn't. He was the exact opposite of it.
If you see an explosion, you walk away.
Right.
That simple.
He's trying to make up for the fact that he did an uncool thing by crashing his car by going way overboard, taking his shirt off, offering people sausages, lighting a cigarette in the fire.
All right, how about we get to a story that will make you happy?
All right, let's do that.
All right, because we're coming off of 4th of July.
Right.
You know, we're in the middle of the summer.
Right.
How about we have a good old-fashioned barbecue story here?
Okay, I like that.
And this is just a great reason to have a barbecue story here. A North Carolina man gained a lot of attention online after he decided to post that he wanted to invite people and strangers to his, quote, all-inclusive party for the 4th of July. The only problem was he decided to post the event on the gay meetup app Grindr.
Oh, man.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, I don't know how you stumble into Grindr.
Like, oh, I'm going to send out my 4th of July barbecue invite. I better find this gay dating app to do it. How do you... it wasn't an accident.
I don't... He claimed...
No. It was not... Dude. One. You don't just accidentally download...
Grindr.
Download an app, create an account, and then upload. I mean, what did he do? Like, how does that even work? He uploaded an invitation?
Yeah, I guess there's like somewhere you can promote events on Grindr.
Yeah, that sounds impossible to accidentally do.
Chris Bauman promoted his, quote, fifth annual 4th of July barbecue using his profile in the meetup app Grindr. The 61-year-old Army veteran wrote, quote, "This is a barbecue, not an orgy."
Oh, so he knew what he was doing.
I think, though, he had to because he later noted that, quote, "Why do you think this is an orgy? Is it because of the app?"
What?
What? This is a barbecue, not an orgy.
This is so. So hold on. Wait. Time out. He wants to host an event.
Yes.
And to host said event, he goes to the app store. He searches Grindr. He sees what it is. I assume he downloads said app. Creates a profile. He knows what said app is about because he specifies that it's not an orgy. And he still decides to post this invitation there.
Yes. So the title says barbecue, not an orgy. And then his text writes, "Why do you think this is an orgy? Is it because I'm on this app? This is a barbecue, not an orgy. If you are coming, please feel free to bring your wife, your partner, a date. The party is open to men, women, families, gay, straight, bi, and the unknown."
And the unknown?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
What are you talking about? The unknown? What are you inviting, like aliens or like vampires or something?
Dear God.
And the unknown. All of a sudden, this party got a lot more interesting.
I kind of want to go to this party now.
My God.
If only I had Grindr.
Right, I know. It's the perfect place to find barbecues with supernatural attendees.
And the unknown.
And the unknown.
So, wow, he's really open.
Hold on. Did he post this on other, like, message boards and apps, or was it just this one app?
It was just on Grindr, apparently.
But why? Why is it like, oh, I want to get this invitation out here. I'll pick this gay dating app. Not Facebook, not doing like a...
Well, he's too old for Instagram, so I know that was out of the question.
But he's young enough for Grindr?
He's young enough for Grindr?
What are you even saying, Rich? Oh, he's too old for Instagram. Grindr's where it's at.
Yeah.
For the 60-year-old plus crowd. Oh my God. But yeah, the unknown. What is that? What was he trying to say?
Yeah, I don't know. The unknown. I guess aliens. Sure, why not?
Oh my God. Other paranormal creatures from the unknown. Is he hoping he's going to get a Sasquatch or something?
Well, he did get a few strangers to come to his barbecue.
Oh,
one of them was Matt Setzer, who says that he wasn't sure what to expect, but he did say that, quote, "It was a very positive experience." He says that, quote, "I can't stress enough how inclusive everybody was. Everybody was so welcoming, and everyone felt like they were family." So it was good.
Wow,
I guess people that showed up actually had a good time.
That is surprisingly wholesome for the odd news. For a story that started so bizarrely, inviting unknown people
and unknown things.
And unknown things via a gay dating app to a barbecue.
Not an orgy.
That is not an orgy. That ended surprisingly wholesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That brought a smile to my face. There's hope in this world.
And guess what? Grindr has also caught wind of it. And they have said that if Bowman likes to post about his next barbecue, that they would like to contribute.
Wow.
So there you go.
God, you know, his mistake, not mistake, ended up working out really well for him then.
There you go. The power of a barbecue.
Yeah, it is the one uniting force. Men, women, families, gay, straight, and unknown.
And the unknown.
And the unknown.
We can all unite over a nice barbecue.
That's right.
Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. If you're getting some nuggets from KFC, barbecue sauce is right for me.
Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. Barbecue sauce goes well with everything.
Boy, you know what? I feel like I missed out now. I want to go to the... You know? I want to go to the...
I wanted to meet the unknown.
Right. I wonder who's the unknown?
I mean, all right. So, I mean, realistically, I know what he's trying to get at. He's saying, like, you know, whatever, you know, whoever you are, whatever your beliefs.
But that's
whatever,
just a weird way to phrase it.
The unknown.
Unknown.
The unknown. Yeah, it sounds like he's talking about, like, some, like, supernatural force or something.
Yeah.
You know?
The unknown will get you. At the barbecue.
At the barbecue, that's right. Oh, who'd you invite? I invited the unknown. They're bringing potato salad.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. It's made with void matter. You know, like...
It's made with beryllium spices.
Right? Oh, my God.
All right, I got one more odd news story here for you. And okay. It is, of course, our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, so only one Florida odd news story today.
This is odd because...
They're taking it light.
Yeah, the past few weeks it's been like three stories, and now it's just the one.
Yeah, they're on summer vacation.
Okay.
But they still got one.
Okay. Gotta always have the one.
Upset about a ruined chicken dinner... Florida man John Matthews is accused of doing something that others probably would not do. In response to ruined chicken, he decided to get angry, swing a boat anchor around, and curse people at high volumes.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
Oh, yeah.
Where is he that he has, that he has access to a boat anchor?
Yeah, this is the first time we've ever had a boat anchor in a
hold
story.
On, hold on. Aren't anchors supposed to be like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but when you say anchor, I'm picturing like the gigantic, like, cast iron... Like 100-pound, you know, classic anchor looking thing, right? How much do boat anchors weigh?
When you're this angry, you just go crazy. The apparent case of this anchor wielding poultry fan went down at a 4th of July party at Fort Pierce Inlet State Park. So there you go. They're at.
Oh, my God. Boating anchors are so expensive. I found one for $3,000.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
Hold on. Do you want to learn about anchors?
Sure.
Okay. This is a Vulcan stainless steel anchor. And if you act now... You can get it at a discount. It was $3,300. Now it's only $3,100. It has a legendary Kiwi design. I don't know what that means.
Can I throw it at people?
I have no idea. How heavy is it? It's 73 pounds. Wow. Why do you have a 73-pound stainless steel $3,000 anchor on hand?
And I'm being guided by invisible forces.
you need the unknown invisible forces to lift an anchor like that. I don't know. There's probably lighter anchors, but that's in my mind. That's what I picture, like a gigantic, like big boat anchor. You know. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was wildly derailed.
That's fine. People on the beach flagged down sheriff's deputies.
Where was he having a chicken dinner on the beach?
This was at the Fort Pierce Inlet State Park.
He's having where? How? But he's not at a restaurant, right?
No, this is a 4th of July party.
And he was... Oh, it was a 4th of July party.
Yes.
And he had chicken.
Yes.
And also a boat anchor.
Yes.
Okay.
Because what goes well with patriotism?
That's right. He docks his boat. He's like, I'm bringing this with me. Grabs his anchor. Or did he, because did he have the chicken and then run down to the water and grab a boat anchor and run back?
All right, so here's...
Or
so
tell me the order of events here.
Yes, I'm trying to.
Sorry.
This is weird.
My mind is just, like, racing right now.
So, around 6:45 p.m., people on the beach flagged down sheriff's deputies. The deputies were told that a man that was later identified as 41-year-old John Matthews was being aggressive towards other men and was trying to fight them. Witnesses stated that Matthews was swinging his fists and then his own metal boat anchor around in the air and cursing loudly at all the men.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
That's exactly what was going through his mind.
Yeah.
Like most people, if you have a bad meal, it's like, all right, it's annoying, but do you really, you know, you're going to have another meal tomorrow. Just make up for it, you know,
yeah.
Or just politely ignore it. Don't whip out your anchor. When in doubt, don't whip it out.
Don't whip out the anchor.
Yes.
So Matthews was then accused of walking aggressively towards other males on the beach with the metal boat anchor and attempting to engage in several physical altercations.
But where did he get the boat anchor?
He had it on
him. I don't care about anything else. I just want to know if he rolled up to the barbecue and his plus one is a boat anchor.
Yes, he loves that
boat anchor. Oh, it's like a literal anchor. It's not a metaphorical anchor. Like, what? I don't understand how this happened.
You guys told me to get an anchor, so
right.
Here we go. Here's my anchor in life.
Here's my anchor.
An actual boat anchor.
Actual.
That's something you learn on your own, though. It doesn't matter the words I give you. What matters is the words you have inside you to tell you what I just told you in your own way.
That's the plot twist. He's Gary Busey. I figured
yes.
It out.
There you
I figured
go.
It out.
Well, here's the plot twist. Prior to this, Matthews had been doing several shots of Malibu rum and smelled of booze.
That makes sense.
When he was confronted by sheriff's deputies, he then broke down and started crying.
Wow. What a 180.
Yep. He said that, quote, he did nothing wrong, that it wasn't his fault, and that there's nothing wrong with holding an anchor.
Are you okay?
Oh my gosh, he actually mentions it.
There's nothing
wrong with playing with an anchor.
He did. He brought it with him, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
That crazy son of a bitch brought an anchor with him.
Stop judging me.
Oh my god. This is the best story ever.
This is my anchor.
He showed up to a barbecue with an anchor.
That is not part of the thing in life.
Yes,
we're interrupting!
Oh my god.
There's nothing wrong with me bringing an anchor.
So.
Yeah, what practical reason?
Right, before the drinking and the bad chicken,
yeah.
What were you planning on doing with the anchor?
What?
Did you have a boat that it goes with?
What? Yeah, what possible reason do you need? Oh, luckily I have a spare anchor yeah. here for you.
Oh my gosh, there's some unspecified tragedy! Does anybody have an anchor? He just walks up like Superman. Don't you worry. I always have my anchor with me. Like, what is the what possible scenario could there be for you to bring an anchor to a barbecue? Yes.
Yes.
Anchorman. Weighing down all of your troubles with my anchor of justice.
Behold, I am ready.
He's wearing a cape. The anchor is wearing a slightly smaller cape.
He actually puts a little cape on
yes.
the anchor.
It's just fluttering in the wind very heroically.
I'm ready.
Does he swing it like Thor swings his hammer?
I have the anchor of justice. I'm ready to save you, Florida.
Oh, my God.
You all laugh at me. But today is the day where I show you. You all need anchors in your life.
Today is the day. The anchor reigns supreme. It will save the day.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. I think I love this story. Oh, my God.
There's nothing wrong with me bringing an anchor.
He knew. He knew it was super weird, and that was the best he could come up with, Rich.
So Matthews said that he confronted another man because he ruined his chicken that was on the grill and that he didn't get anything to eat.
Oh, he was too busy with his anchor.
You brought an anchor, but you didn't bring food.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Matthews was arrested on a disorderly intoxication charge with his...
That's it?
That's it. That's all he got.
That's it. Wow.
That's all he got.
He's wielding an anchor like Kratos wields the Blades of Chaos, and all he got was what? Disorderly conduct?
Yeah, that's all he got.
I feel like there should be a special charge for this.
Well, like, he's a hero.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right.
He's a Florida hero.
That's right.
All right, you're going to lock this hero up?
Never. Never. Anchorman shall live on.
Right. You never know when you're going to need that anchor.
That's right. It's super dramatic when he makes an entrance, because actually just imagine, like, you're like, oh my gosh, something bad is happening. Where's Anchorman? And then thud, the anchor just drops out of the sky and he falls down next to it. That's how he makes his entrance.
Something is floating away. We need something to anchor it.
Have no fear. Anchorman is here.
What do I have to tie down? Tell me, Billy.
Just throws his anchor into the sea.
Oh, no, the balloon is getting away. I will be there to save it. The anchor of justice. Boom.
Oh, man.
Anchorman saves the day in Florida.
Oh, God. It's...
Can I be Anchorman Jr.? Maybe one day, Billy. But for now, get me more booze. Thank you.
That was sneak peek at Marvel's Phase 4.
There you go.
Wow.
True story. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
I'm so happy right now.
Well,
I can't even explain it.
Let's you know, Mike's happy. We're all happy. Let's go over all that we've learned and that we've been happy about on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Oh, boy. I've learned a lot, Rich. But probably the most important thing I've learned is that you should always, always carry an anchor with you wherever you go. You never know when you could need one.
Call Anchorman.
Yes, it's heavy, but it's a sacrifice you have to make.
Yes. Or call Anchorman.
Yes. Anchorman, of course, we also learned that's a new superhero. Just driving the kids crazy. They love Anchorman.
Yep.
Yes. And the more I say it, I'm realizing Anchorman is an actual thing. Anchorman?
Well, yeah, for news. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, but
it's a very confusing term.
Yeah, but no, this is much different.
This is Anchor Spaceman.
Right. Anchor Spaceman.
You need to have the space, and you got to make sure people understand.
Right, this is a superhero.
He's Anchor Man. There anyway. Oh, my gosh. So, you obviously, we're making a guest list in this odd news, and you have to invite Anchorman. You have to invite, of course, the unknown. The presence from the great beyond.
Oh no, I want to go to the barbecue where they're there.
You gotta invite the unknown. That guy, man, he was throwing quite the party. Oh my gosh. But you know who you don't want to invite to barbecues is the person who's going to start a fire and then not walk away from it like a total badass, but turn back towards it and stick his head into it in order to light a cigarette. Don't invite that guy.
He's not cool.
No, not cool.
No. You see an explosion, you walk away.
That's right. Don't look at it.
Right. And the more you ignore it, the cooler you look.
Yes, exactly. You know what else is uncool? Is eating people's noses.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's uncool. It's gross. But it only costs $1,000.
Well, okay.
So if you're really curious, I'm not saying eat a person's nose, but also eat a person's nose.
Okay.
And finally, I learned, Rich, that your favorite movie... or musical is not Phantom of the Opera, but Mamma Mia. It is official. We have made it so. From here on out.
I have seen it 3 times.
How many times have you seen Phantom?
Yeah, on Broadway only once, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Proven science.
The numbers don't lie. It is official. Rich's favorite musical is Mamma Mia.
There you go.
The science backs it up.
And that's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Wow. What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Here you go. So this is Anchorman's slogan.
I'm not a baby. I'm a man. I am an Anchorman.
There you go. I am a man. I am an Anchorman.
God, he needs to be a real hero.
I think so, too. Why not? You have Ant-Man and Wasp. Yeah,
right. I mean, they have superheroes of everything.
Right, so why not Anchorman from Florida?
The symbol is just a giant anchor, you know? The color scheme is like gray and blue. I've got it all figured out.
There you go. I think it's we should perfect. Do it. So we'll go back into the drawing board and create that hero. But unfortunately for now, we've hit the end of this week's episode. We got to wrap this one up. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on our little show, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast that we call the Mini Noodles. Check that out on SoundCloud. You can listen to some funny clips that are around 2 minutes long. They're easy to listen to and easy to share with family and friends. The craziness that is The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share The Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find us. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. I'm also at that same name on Instagram. You can let us know anything that's happening there as well. Let us know what's happening, and you never know, we might read it on the next episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. And if you're throwing any parties,
yes,
invite us, but only if you also invite the unknown.
Right. We specifically want to meet the unknown.
Yes, we need to know what this ethereal presence is all about.
Yeah. All right. It was gay, straight,
gay, straight, bi, and unknown.
Yeah, an unknown. So we want to know what the
very mysterious.
That means.
We have to figure it out.
Yeah. So let us know.
Yeah.
But for now, we have to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia. Okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.